Yeah. 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 And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. From the shot like Tim, it's the harder way. So this is in the name of love, like Robert say. Before you ask me to go get a job today, can I at least get a raise on the minimum wage? And I know the government administers AIDS, so I guess we just pray like the ministers say.
From the heart of Broadway here in historic downtown, happy birthday, Allie!
Yay!
It's Mr. 100, the five-star man, and a birthday girl.
Yes.
Birthday woman. You're practically a young lady now.
Almost there.
It's Mr. 100. It's the five-star man. I'm Shannon Young. I'm Mr. 100. Asa Gray's the five-star man down at the end of the table.
All five.
And the birthday girl herself, Allie Hebert.
Hello.
Who turned 21 today.
Yes.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I have a envelope.
Uh-huh.
Contained within this envelope are stories that your mother hand-delivered to me at the store.
Yeah.
Of embarrassing stories about naked Allie. Confused Alley, and Screaming Naked Church Alley. We're going to read a couple of those here in a little bit, and that's going to be a great time.
Have you already read these?
I have.
Okay, I was going to say, is there going to be some like life-shattering, like, so that's when we decided that we weren't going to tell her she's adopted.
That's when we decided we would rather have a girl than a boy, and we took him back to the doctor and exchanged him. I'm sure there's some kind of exchange program.
We grabbed the one in the cradle next to her and just like swapped him out real quick.
This one's mine now. We swapped. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to make fun of Allie for her birthday, her 21st birthday, because that's a big birthday. Like, that's the last big birthday, honestly.
It's the last one that's celebrated.
Yeah, because after that, it's like there's nothing new.
Yeah.
I think once you hit a certain age, your insurance goes down.
Does.
But
you also get senior discounts at a certain age.
Well, you got a long way to go.
Well,
there.
I know that, but I'm
everybody at this
still
table
making
has a long
a
way to go on that one.
Well,
everybody at this table has a long way to go with that
everyone
one.
Everyone except Allie's hip.
Yeah, I have arthritis. I found that out today.
Do you really?
She has clinically diagnosed what is it?
Minor
osteoarthritis.
And I also am positive for rheumatoid arthritis, but I'm not being affected by it yet.
Happy birthday!
Yay!
Here's some more good news to celebrate with your birthday, Betsy DeVos. We'll get to that. It was a weird day. It was a weird day. This show is going to be part happy because we are going to talk about Allie's birthday and we are going to talk about fun things. We want to talk about John Wick too.
Can we do that at the end?
Yes. I was going to do that.
Okay.
John Wick. We're going to talk about Iron Fist. The trailer hit for that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. If you haven't watched it five times, I heard
five.
Then you're
five?
Dead to Asa.
You are.
Which. I am a corpse right now because I haven't watched it once yet.
I'm also dead.
How? Pause the show. We're going to come back. We're going to put in that like elevator. We'll be right back. Technical difficulties music. You're going to watch the trailer. We'll be back.
That is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. Okay, well, we just watched the trailer for Iron Fist.
Yep.
And I can tell should we save it for the end of the
yeah.
show? Okay, we'll save it for the end of the show. I don't remember what we were talking about now. That was a long trailer. That was like 3 minutes long.
I know.
And for those of you out there who are doubting that we didn't know, we legitimately just paused the show and watched it.
We were talking about the unhappy things aspect of the day between trash goals and...
Yeah, we're going to talk about... The good stuff is Allie. We're going to talk about Iron Fist. We're going to talk about John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Lego Batman, and I'm going to pose a question that should have been posed a long time ago: Is Lego Batman really Batman?
Yes.
Should people not like? Are the people that weren't upset at Batman v Superman's Batman? Why are they not upset with Lego Batman? And I think Asa, and I'm saying this like in sincerity, that maybe you can shed some light on it because I don't understand it yet. But I think maybe you can help me.
Yes,
I mean that
we'll get there.
I think you can point that out. All right, let's get to the not fun stuff first. Before we even get to Trump. Because I got a lot to say about Trump. I want to talk about this trash bird that called me earlier today. Because I got in a real bad mood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we work in a video game library in Cape Girardeau. Gaming grounds, because we never hide where we work. And a woman called me today, and she said, I got a system put in for repair there in December. Mm-hmm. And it's worse than it was before. Now, I remember these people when they came in. Because they had two original Xbox 360s, the old models,
the cursed ones that didn't work.
Right. The bad ones. And they had multiple problems with it. When they came in, they were filthy. The systems were filthy. And she was sitting at the counter with two guys asking me Are we going to try to keep this family?
We're going to try to keep it a little PG.
Okay, I'll try to keep it PG. She said, how much is this going to effing cost me? And she just kept dropping F-bombs and just cursing, just casually. Like, she wasn't even really mad. She was just cursing at me.
Right.
So she calls about this. Apparently, it's not working. I told her, well, we'll have to look into when you got it because there's a 30-day guarantee on it. And she immediately cuts me off and says, that's BS. Of course, I'm censoring her. Just imagine she's full non-censored. Mm-hmm. So that's BS. I was told that I could bring it in and I would have this long. You know, if something was wrong, bring it back in. While she's doing this and I'm trying to talk to her, she's also talking to a trash goal in the background who is just dropping more F-bombs about how it doesn't work. And he's just cussing and cussing, tell him it's F this, F that. And then there's a pause and I literally hear him say, you got me on speakerphone? Get me off speaker. And then it goes off. And then all of a sudden he gets on the phone and goes, Hey man, what's up? It's just not working anymore. It just goes into super polite mode. Mm-hmm. But this trash bitch is right. Okay. Right.
Sure.
Is it okay? All right. She has put me in just the worst mood now. Mm-hmm. And I told the guy, yeah, Billy's here on Thursday. Call him. You'll have to talk to him. He starts to say thank you, and I just hung up on him. Mm-hmm. And I know that's wrong with me because I've done this for just video game retail. Mm-hmm. I've done for 7-8 years now.
Right.
And I've only had one customer that I've ever gotten rude with on the phone. And that was the one that called Lindsay the C word and Teddy the N word.
Yep.
So it takes a lot to get me mad at work. And this person really got me mad because I don't understand. Like, I get it if I would have just flat out said, I'm not going to help you.
Right.
But I was trying to figure out how to help them.
Right.
And she's cussing at me. Like, what happened to civility and class whenever you interact with people? Mm-hmm. Like, what makes you think that it's okay to badmouth and cuss at people that you're trying to get to help you? Like, how much of a trash bird do you have to be to act that way to other people? Now, Ace, I know in the business you're in,
Yes. You
see this all the time.
Constantly.
All the time. You get it worse than I do. And I think worse than Allie does in her line of work.
I think the only reason it's worse for me is because then I have to rely on the trash birds to pay me. As opposed to, like, you're getting a check at the end of the week no matter what.
No matter what. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Allie.
I unfortunately do not get that luxury.
And that's terrible. Like, you would hope that people were just a little bit more polite than that. You'd hope that people would have a little bit of class. And that just put me in a bad mood for the rest of the day. And I don't know. I have no point to this story. It just really pissed me off. Right. And I just want to know.
It just set the tone for the day.
It did. And well, yeah, because that was the first thing that happened to me. Mm-hmm. And that actually happened while Hunter came in.
Right.
Double H came in. And me and him were talking when this happened. And then after that, all of a sudden, now, Mike Pence just cast the tie-breaking vote for Betsy DeVos. Or is it Betty DeVos? I forget. It's Betsy, isn't it? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
I'm pretty sure.
She's in now. And then there's all of the list of the, I believe, was it 78? Or maybe it's 48 terror attacks that the news hasn't reported on that the White House released today. Mm-hmm. Of which almost every single one of them has been covered by every major news outlet.
Did you see the Kellyanne Conway CNN interview she did
where she apologized basically and said CNN's not fake news?
Well, there was
that, about the Bowling Green massacre.
There was that one too.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I can't remember who the name of the guy, but he pretty much just kind of held her feet to the fire and just let her, you know, watched her dance around the questions.
Was it Jake Tapper?
Jake Tapper, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, CNN's been promoting it as the interview with Kellyanne Conway you have to see. Mm-hmm. Because she flat out says, I don't believe CNN is fake news. She said she's trying to extend the olive branch to journalists. And this is very important to me because I have done journalism even before college.
That's what your degree's in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, before then, and then you went on to get your degree.
In college toward it. And I've worked for newspapers. I've worked for websites. Mm-hmm. You know, I've cut my teeth in journalism everywhere I can. This podcast even.
Right.
So when I see journalists being treated this way, like, it upsets me because while she's on CNN saying CNN's not fake news and I want to extend the olive branch, Donald Trump is literally going the opposite route and calling the media the opposition party. Groska? It's in the group chat. If you'll look it up for me real quick.
It's in the group chat. It's
or Google it. Google of Groska or Gronka. One of the two. It's one of those. But basically the point is he is a Republican who said that they're going to keep using the term fake news.
Until the
news stops criticizing Donald Trump.
Right.
they're literally saying we're going to discredit the news organizations to Trump followers until they decide to stop holding him to the things that he says.
Which, I mean,
that has never been done before in the history, as far as I know.
The good part of this is now that this Muslim ban is being taken to the actual courts that can overrule Donald Trump. Now his, all of the stuff that he's just been saying wantonly, like without regard to anything and then going back and denying, it's on the record.
Yeah.
He, like, best case scenario, if he ends up having, I don't know how these actually work, so this could just be hearsay, but like if he's called to testify or give some sort of like actual sworn statement and him saying, I never said that. And then the states are just like, no, here's where you actually did say it. Like, can he get tried? Can he get charged for perjury?
Yeah, well.
Cause he's the kind of person that would absolutely perjure himself. If without even meaning to.
If he says it on the record, yes. Like, if mm-hmm. he says at trial, I never said that, and they have proof that he did.
Yeah.
That's sworn testimony.
Right.
You know? Of.
And that's what's happening now, is they are bringing up, like, actual recordings of Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And the things he's tweeted and written.
Yeah. Well, see, with the tweets, it's harder, though. With tweets, it's harder because you can always claim stupidity. You can always say, I never wrote that, because they can't prove you did. It's under your Twitter handle, but it does not necessarily, because there are so many organizations that use Twitter, Jesus, that use Twitter and don't actually themselves use it.
Right.
Like it's, you know, they have a publicist or somebody mm-hmm. that does it for them.
Right.
So Donald Trump could claim stupidity, but there's other stuff that he has said in,
like in speeches,
in speeches yeah. and stuff that's on video that they could absolutely get him for if he tries to lie about it in court. Right now they're using his testimony against him in court over the travel ban. Like you said, I was watching it for at least an hour today, live coverage on CNN of the proceedings and how they really are just bringing up all these things Trump said. They're saying, well, no, it's not a ban on Muslims. Mm-hmm. And then the other side's going, it clearly
except,
is.
Except here's where Donald Trump uses the actual words, Muslim ban.
Ban on Muslims.
And then says that he's going to do a religious scan to help Christians.
Yeah, Christians in Syria mm-hmm. will get priority over Muslims. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense because this has been all over the internet. You guys already know this if you're listening. If you don't, I'll let you in on it. The countries that Donald Trump has put on the ban list, of those countries, none of the terrorists that have come to the United States and done anything are on those countries' list. Mm-hmm. The countries that they are from are not on the list. Coincidentally, those are the same countries that Donald Trump has business dealings with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, and the way they're spinning it is, well, these are seven countries that the Obama administration had identified and said they required stricter screening processes. Spoiler alert. The Obama administration identified them and then implemented the stricter screening process.
Right. Yeah. And
they never called for a ban.
The problem with that is that Kellyanne Conway and everyone else in the Trump administration that's pushing it
Tony Loren, whatever that chick's name is.
They said, yes, Obama did a ban originally.
A 60-day Iraq ban.
But it was never a ban.
And it was never
it
a ban.
It was legitimately never a ban because no one was ever stopped from coming into this country.
Yep.
And it really upsets me that Donald Trump has made such a mission to stop evil foreigners from both Mexico and these Eastern countries, Middle Eastern countries, from coming to America, but has not addressed the gun violence that is happening in America. I don't know if you knew this, Asa. I just found this out today. My friend Michael McDowell posted this. More people are killed in America by Americans than are killed by terrorists from other countries or illegal immigrants.
And by toddlers, even.
More people are killed by toddlers in the United States with guns mm-hmm. than by radical Muslim extremists. But Donald Trump is not only not going against that, he is pushing bills that will make it easier for people, including the mentally ill. I don't care what the people that are trying to spin this of, no, they're not trying to give more people guns. They are trying to give more people guns. That is his answer to the gun violence in America. And it's such a great smokescreen that they've created in the Trump administration where they will say something so outlandishly stupid that you pay attention to it and you don't pay attention to the very real things that he does.
To them overturning something literally called the Anti-Corruption Act. Yeah, no,
I know.
It's a thing that he overturned because it's so hard for his friends to borrow money.
Yeah, he wants to
make it. It's his friends need help borrowing money. One of the Jake Tapper thing that he talked about with Kellyanne Conway that I very much enjoyed was, cause he's like, okay, so they say we're fake news, which is unfair because you say, oh, you list all of these things where, well, here are the number of hours we have actually spent covering these attacks. Well, no, we're talking about the ones that aren't, that, you know, maybe weren't covered as much. Yeah, but you included the ones we did cover on the list is Yeah, and so she tried to spin it that way.
Because he said, you know which ones were on the list? The Paris attacks were on the list.
Yep.
The Florida, the Pulse nightclub shooting. Yep. Yeah. Things that I remember seeing. Anderson Cooper did a segment where he showed video of every single one that he was at.
Yeah. I really liked the, but so he talked about, I was like, but it's interesting that what wasn't on the list was the right wing terrorist, because that's what he is, who shot and fired into a mosque full of innocent men, women, and children, killing 6 people. That wasn't on the list. Donald Trump never tweeted about that. Mm-mm. Well, Donald Trump doesn't tweet about every little thing that happens. Well, Donald Trump tweeted about the attack in Nice, France. And I know I'm saying that wrong. I'm American, so deal. America.
America.
No, I don't want to do that anymore. No. I'm proud of that.
That's not funny.
So, like, he tweeted about this attack where no one died, but he's not mentioning the one where there it was a white guy. You're putting a, he even asked her, like, are the people who died in this mosque any less dead than the people who died after the Paris bombings? Like,
I mean, not only that, but Kellyanne Conway, not once, because she said that it was a flub, mm-hmm. but twice, because I believe it was the editor of Cosmopolitan. I want to say it's Cosmopolitan. It's a fashion magazine mm-hmm. publication. She said the same thing to her in a quote that they left out because they didn't want to spread misinformation, where she again talked about the Bowling Green Massacre. Allie, have you heard about the Bowling Green Massacre?
You would have to clarify it more.
No, there's no clarity because there is no Bowling Green Massacre. What it was is 2 guys who came to the United States and were going to send weapons back to terrorist countries and didn't. Never had a plan to go against it. But in 2 interviews, Kellyanne Conway mentioned the Bowling Green Massacre, which there was none.
One of my favorite things on Reddit right now is like the top post on r/jokes is, you guys, you need to stop making jokes about the Bowling Green Massacre. It's not cool. It's too soon.
Yeah.
Wait for it to happen at least.
They've done vigils in Bowling Green for the people that didn't die. They've run. And you know, it's funny that it's a joke. I get it. It's hilarious.
But it's not. But what's not funny is the fact that they're trying to spin it. The other part was him like, okay, at a luncheon with like the sheriff's department of like whatever their big association is.
Yeah.
Donald Trump said that murder rates are at the highest they've ever been in a 47 year span.
Which is completely
untrue. Fact. Oh, well, yeah. I mean, only if you don't count like all of 1990s
and the 80s.
All of the 1980s. There was like a mild spike, but it's dwarfed by these past decades.
And
then her response, and she's like, how do you respond to that? Well, you know, we care about the veterans. We're here for the veterans. You support the veterans. You've done some great work with them. You support our men and women in uniform. And she goes on and on about caring for veterans. And he's like, yes, I would love to be here talking to you about veterans issues and immigration issues and things like that. But I can't, because your president is now, like, this man that you work for is actively spreading disinformation and trying to undercut us and saying that we're doing a bad job at our job for not reporting these things that just aren't true. Yes, that there is a specific reason we have failed to report to the American public that murder rates are at an 47-year high. It's because it's not true. That's why we're not reporting it.
There was a spike in 2014. Mm-hmm. That is true. There was a spike in 2014.
But spike was well below the highs of the 90s and 80s.
That is absolutely true. And to your point earlier, Asa, about are those people less dead than, you know, the other people? Mm-hmm. Did you see Representative Sean Duffy? I posted this on my Facebook. He said in an interview Tuesday on CNN that, quote, there is a difference between terror attacks by white people and those committed by Muslims. He said there's no one out there, and I'm paraphrasing now, there's no one out there telling them to go out and kill these people like, you know, ISIS and Allah and stuff like that. And I don't get it. I don't get, are people purposely, is it that we're not paying attention because we're fed up with it? Or is it because the generation that is prominent now, you know, the younger people, mm-hmm. like you guys, not myself, everything's a meme. Everything's a joke. Everything. We don't get angry about this stuff. Some people do. Some mm-hmm. people do. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of people, they take, it's like Harambe. They take stuff and they turn it into a joke, and they don't care about that this is really affecting our country. To them, it's funny. We can make a joke out of this. SNL's got great stuff. Allie, you got a point to make.
Because the day after the inauguration, there was the largest protest. So no, people aren't just not caring anymore, thinking it's a joke. They're doing what they can. But whenever they're seeing that a lot of the ways they can do things are just gonna be taken away from them, it becomes scary. So people aren't just forgetting it, making it into a joke. Some people use that way to make it
more palpable.
So more people can hear about it and learn about it, because there are people that are going to avoid it if it's in a news article. But if they see a meme,
and you're right,
they're gonna learn more about it.
You just blew my mind, because you're absolutely right. I mean, there was a lot of people, you know, as a study a couple years ago said that more people got their news from Jon Stewart than they did from CNN, Fox, MSNBC, stuff like that. And I get it. I do. Like, I use humor in every part of my life. You know me. I turn everything into a joke. Mm-hmm. My depression, suicide, the death of my parents, everything can be a joke. But when I see this stuff, I get actually angry, because I can't recall a time in history in the United States where there has been so many people going against the president and the government, so many people protesting, so many people, you know, calling out this nonsense, and yet nothing can be done about it. Name another time in history where a president was so hated and so distrusted, whatever, and we couldn't do anything about it. Because it seems like, and maybe I'm wrong, and I wish Jesse was here, because he's always smart with these things, there's nothing we can do about it. You'd think by now, with the hateful rhetoric, that Donald Trump would have already been impeached. But he is still, despite the fact that his approval ratings are the lowest since recorded history, I'm pretty sure, despite the fact that there have been more protests in the first 3 weeks of his term than any president in history, despite all of these facts, the lies, the distrust in the media, nothing's happening to him. He's still making executive orders. I mean, he's still in power.
To be fair, like, it's not a quick process. Like, it's not an immediate, like, oh, he said this thing. Okay, now he's just impeached.
But like, the proceedings haven't even been started.
The impeachment proceedings aren't, but he's already been taken to court by a state. Like, there was something I read, and I could be butchering this, but it's like he's at 4 out of 10 that impeachment proceedings can start. Nixon hit 7 whenever they demanded the tapes be, his like unedited tapes be released.
Yeah.
And that took how many years into his presidency?
Which, by the way, condemned him.
Yeah.
He was so eager to get his unreleased tapes, his uncensored tapes out, and they actually hung him on it.
Yeah.
Which made no sense.
I don't know. But whatever. So there's a chance, like, there's a very good chance he will end up getting impeached. It's not going to be an immediate process.
Yeah.
At the same time, like, I honestly don't think it's going to be any better under Pence.
No.
At all.
I think it will be less destructive globally. Because I truly believe that Donald Trump, the way he conducts himself, is going to be detrimental to the United States.
Actively isolating allies and egging on,
taunting,
antagonizing people who, because right now America doesn't have any real enemies.
No.
We have people that we have uneasy relationships with.
Like Russia, North Korea.
Yeah, Russia, North Korea, China to a lesser extent, maybe. But we don't have any real, like, active enemies aside from ISIS. I mean in the sense of, like, formal government sanctions when I say that.
Right.
I agree with you. He'll be less destructive in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for America in general, between the cowardice, backboneless Republican Party that we're left with, they're in control of literally everything right now.
And the Americans that voted them into power.
And that's the thing. And that's what I was telling Jesse tonight, is it's like, oh, yeah, everyone talks about, okay, you know, in 2 years we can start electing. These are the people who voted in DeVos, and their terms are up. It's like, it doesn't matter. They're going to just get reelected, because the election cycle will start over again. They're going to just start lying to the public again, and they're going to believe them.
And
they're going to be like, oh, no, things aren't that bad. And the reason things are bad is because of the Democrats.
Yeah.
There's just too many of them.
They're trying to take your guns. Even though we're the majority.
They try to spin it like there's a conspiracy against them, even though they're the ones in power.
Yeah, and the
you
thing
can't
about,
have, you don't get both.
They spun that conspiracy for so many years to people, and they left the media out of it. You know, it's before it was the mudslinging. Of course, it comes with every election cycle. You're absolutely right. But we're in a unprecedented state where we're actually taking on the media, and not just one publication. This isn't Donald Trump going against BuzzFeed.
This isn't Hogan and Gawker.
Yeah. This is Donald Trump saying every single media outlet is a liar, except the ones that I personally approve of.
Except the ones that say I'm doing great.
Breitbart.com, obviously, of InfoWars. Even Fox News, to an extent, although to be fair, Bill O'Reilly did an interview with Donald Trump right before the Super Bowl where he flat out said, how can you support Vladimir Putin. He's a killer. Which Donald Trump replied, "Well, there's lots of killers."
Yeah, are we that much better than them?
Is this country so innocent?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. It's like, how much do you have to hear, America, before you realize what a mistake you've made? Oh, and no, to be fair, you didn't even make the mistake.
Three million
people voted against mm-hmm. him. But to be fair, like Donald Trump said, they were dead or immigrants.
Right.
Every single one of them. Everyone says so.
I liked how he kind of dropped the, I'm going to open an investigation when it turned out like his campaign coordinator and all these people like in his cabinet were registered to vote in multiple counties.
Like, which is one of the things he was critical of.
Maybe we should drop the whole unfair election thing because,
Allie, how do you feel about that?
I am now sad on my birthday. Thanks.
We'll get to the good stuff in a second. Uh-huh. Let's stop talking about Trump and the media because you have no idea how far this is going to go. This is going to go far. And what I'm afraid of is that somehow, because it seems implausible, it seems like this is implausible a word? That's a word. Mm-hmm. It seems like this is never going to happen. But there's a good chance that the media in the United States can become a propaganda state where the only media that is allowed is the ones
This is how we get the Department of Truth.
This is how North Korea, I mean, look at places like North Korea and Russia. They have a media system set up to only promote the government.
They have Department
of
Truths.
Yeah. And you're probably thinking, well, that's crazy. That could never happen. It happened already in other places. What makes you think it won't happen here? When Trump is trying to push his pro-Russia beliefs on us anyway. I don't know. So we'll keep tabs on that, but we got other stuff to talk about, including that Betsy DeVos is now your, Department of Education head. Which, by the way, they've now put in, a GOP lawmaker put in, whatever, I don't know the correct term for it, that's going to possibly abolish the whole thing that she's trying to be the head of and to make it up to each state to decide how their education system runs, which is a great idea.
Yeah.
Because some states require more guns than others.
But now we're finally going to we're going to deal with all of those grizzly bear attacks.
Someone please think of the children. Allie, what do you feel about this? You're in college.
I am in college. And
yeah, that's kind of how we all feel.
Yeah.
Here's how it happened. If you guys haven't been paying attention to the news, the Democrats held a 24-hour protest to sway more Republicans over because they only needed one more Republican to vote no on Betsy DeVos, and she was out.
Looking at you, John McCain, the original Maverick, who was going to stand up to Trump. Looking at you, Lindsey Graham, or
Mitch McConnell,
Mitch McConnell's a lapdog,
like turtle.
Rand Paul, who it turns out like fairly recently got almost $100,000 donation from Betsy DeVos and her foundation company, whatever it is.
You were saying earlier that whenever the election cycle comes up and they start slinging mud, that it won't matter. Here is exactly why. If you look at the vote for Betsy DeVos, 51-50, almost completely down party lines.
It was entirely down party lines.
Except for the two Republicans.
Every single Democrat voted against her. Two Republicans who, as Jesse mentioned, could have killed her bid earlier in committee. They could have put an end to it. But they voted no to save face with their constituents because they knew it wouldn't matter that she was going in anyway.
So you're not on the train of applauding the two that...
No, I'm not at all. Because they could have killed it earlier. They could have killed it in committee. They are just now trying to save face to their constituents. Whoever the Missouri one is, Blunt.
Roy Blunt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was bombarded with calls and emails and Facebook posts pleading him not to vote against her. Nope, I'm just going to go with it because President Bannon wants me to.
So yeah, it was almost completely down party lines. And
and Mike Pence, for the first time in American history, had to issue a tie-breaking vote for an...
biased.
Yeah, this is the most biased administration we've ever seen. And we knew it was going to be this way when Republicans took everything.
And it's the same thing with like talking about, the media and all this. Like you're looking at things that are proven. Like these are just facts.
Yeah.
And people's reaction is like, this is fine dog.
Yeah.
But instead of, he's wearing a Make America Great Again hat and he's just saying, haha, take that liberals.
Yeah. Like, it's a game.
Yeah, it's just, I want my side to beat your side.
Yeah.
So that's what's important.
And that's what I realized about, I know we say we're neutral on the show, and I truly believe that we are neutral. Do we lean left? Probably.
Oh, and it's not to say, and again, like, it's not to say that the left isn't capable of doing pretty much the same thing.
Right. Because just generally what the left does, I agree with more than the right.
Right. And I've mentioned on the show before, like, we will take, like, any excuse to bash the people we want to bash.
Yeah.
Without necessarily fact checking it up.
Right.
So, I mean, it's the two-party system is.
It's a joke
broken,
anyway.
Yeah. It's terrible.
I say I'm neutral. I will vote for a Republican. I have voted for Republicans in the past. I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an ounce of respect building, and this is my own fault, and you're probably going to make fun of me for it. I had respect building for John McCain, for Mitch McConnell, for the guys that were going, well, Trump is wrong on this, and we're going to stand against him. And then I realize that they do that in the media, and they put out this giant facade of,
right.
Yeah, we're going to go against him because we don't agree with it. But then the moment that something happens, all the stuff that they said before this was because it didn't matter. You
right.
can say whatever you want in the media. And then they just vote
for
down
him.
The party anyway because yeah. they're still loyal to it. And that's ridiculous. And yep. I realize that. And now I feel stupid for going, well, I kind of, well, go John McCain. Yeah. I hate Mitch McConnell. I've always hated Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
And I actually, for a moment, went, I can't believe I'm agreeing with Mitch McConnell
Mitch
on
McConnell's
something.
The one who said, wow, I can't believe that they would try to block the SCOTUS. You know, proceedings. That's the president's right. He just gets to name it. Fast forward, like rewind 6 months when he's actually like, oh, whoever he puts up, we're going to say no to.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Mm. It's ridiculous. And it's upsetting.
Yeah.
But you know what? We here at Podzilla 1985, we're just entertainment personalities for the most part. And we all have our jobs. I actually talked to teachers today. I talked to teachers. I'm not going to name who, but I know quite a few of them. And I got some quotes because I wanted to know what they thought of Betsy DeVos being in there because these people actually work in the field. I'm going to read off a couple of those real quick. I've got some that are for and I've got one or one that is for and a couple that are against. Go figure. I'm going to read the against first. And this sent to me by an anonymous source. I'm going to read that right now if that's okay with you, Asa. I don't know why I needed permission there. The confirmation of Betsy DeVos is a slap in the face to every public school teacher who has devoted their life to making sure every child, regardless of race, religion, socioeconomic status, or gender, receives the equal opportunity to learn. As of today, it is difficult to believe that our government will protect our best interests or us as a whole under her leadership. We are being told indirectly that neither students nor teachers are valued for their skills or talents, rather money is all that matters. Teachers are supposed to be the experts regarding what is best for the education of our children, but under the current administration, it is becoming clearer and clearer by the day that experience and knowledge pale in comparison to one's ability to write a big enough check to those in charge. Betsy's highly publicized initial round of Senate questioning should have been more than enough to prove to anyone willing to vote for her confirmation that she was then and remains now undeniably unqualified for the position. Still, politics won the day, and only two Republicans were willing to listen to the will of the people instead of their campaign contributors. While it is true that the decision may affect higher education institutions more than K-12 schools, as the majority of the latter's funding comes from a local level, the point is moot if DeVos's predilection towards the charter and private school system results in the raising of the public school systems altogether. Regardless, where did I just leave off at? You
regardless.
Guys talk for a second. Regardless.
The one positive is that
I clicked a button.
The one positive to her being named is, like one of our friends said, like, best case scenario is all education matters basically hit a standstill for 4 years. Because she's taking over an agency that actively hates her. The problem is, as we've seen Trump already do, I'm pretty sure there's no safeguarding those dissenting voices, so she could just fire them like he fired, was it the Attorney General?
Yeah, Attorney General Yates.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found it, by the way. Picking up. We won't skip that part. Regardless, the narrative remains that the same. Betsy DeVos bought her position as Secretary of Education. She did not earn it. For now, we must focus on two things, doing whatever we can to bolster local funding initiatives for public schools and preparing to oust any senator who voted not with their conscience but with their wallet in 2018. That's one teacher that sent me that. I got another one here. The passing of DeVos into the cabinet position is a black eye to the educational system in America. Someone who has no ties to the public school system should not be in charge of the entire system. She is not a teacher, counselor, or administrator. She's a wealthy person who paid for a spot. The best case scenario is that the education system will be in a stalemate for at least 4 years. American schools do not deserve this. American teachers do not deserve this. But most importantly, American students do not deserve this. She has no personal interest in the public education system, and that sickens me.
Yeah, the stalemate comment is a pretty widely acknowledged, like, well, this could be, this is the silver lining.
It's that, it's, yeah, yeah, your entire family just died in a fire.
Right.
But imagine how cheap Christmas will be. Think about that. Did you not think about that? I got one for it. I'm going to read a little bit of what they wrote to me. Let me see where we start here. Fact, let's get the facts first. Fact, she is not the first Secretary of Education to have no degree or professional experience in education. I didn't fact check that, so I'm not 100% sure on that.
I mean, even if it's true, that doesn't mean it's okay.
The biggest objection educators have for DeVos is that she is school for choice. She is for school choice. Many educators believe she takes away, this takes away from public education. No more than private schools do. But vouchers and charter schools often open up educational choice to families who do not have otherwise, who do not otherwise have that choice due to limited financial resources. I am a public educator, and when the public education system does what it is supposed to do, we should not have to worry about competition from private, charter, or other school choice that exists. I believe in public education, education for all. I support families' rights to choose a religious education or homeschooling if they so equipped to do a sufficient job. And yes, charters and vouchers that allow taxpayers to use their tax dollars where they see fit is okay with me. If that is the problem educators have with DeVos, I don't have that problem.
Wait, I'm confused. Is it, she thinks there should be choice?
Because that's what the Republicans keep throwing out, is that,
well, no, this is all about
choice.
They think there should be a choice, but they don't want the competition between private and public. How do you, you don't get both, though. And with these vouchers, that's actively taking away funding for the public schools, because where else is that money going to come from?
I got more, by the way, before we get too far into it. I have not heard or seen DeVos specific statements on education of individuals with disabilities or minorities, because if I remember correctly, this is me cutting off here, I don't think she understands the education system for people with disabilities. Wasn't that one of the things from the committee hearing?
I think her stance is...
it should be up to the school?
F them.
That's you just boiled the denim right there for me.
I think that was boiled denim. Some good boiled denim.
I am anxious to hear her position. I have only heard others report, and because they have been inaccurate on other things reported, I will reserve comment until I hear from reliable sources or directly from DeVos. If you think DeVos is a reliable source to hear comments from, I have to disagree with that, first of all.
I mean, her Senate hearings were pretty, she didn't know the progress versus growth debate.
I mean, I guess that's pretty honest. To not know.
Yeah.
She wants to hear what the position
is. Proficiency, not growth. Sorry.
I am very passionate about the free and appropriate public education being available to students with disabilities and other subgroups. I do expect to hear more, but she will not be the first or last Secretary of Education that I agree with in some areas and not in others. So I guess that's honestly not even necessarily four. It's more of a, let's give her
the chance.
Let's see what happens. But my God,
but I don't
that's
agree
what we
with
said
the,
about Trump.
Yeah, I don't agree with the, well, I mean, yeah, the toddler's already behind the seat of the car on the interstate. Let's see what happens. Let's give him a chance.
Let's see what happens. Like I said, we said this about Donald Trump when he became president. We tried to find the silver lining, and we said, yes, it looks bad. But everyone said, let's give the guy a chance. Everyone said that. Everyone said that. Even Democrats were going, okay, let's see what happens. Let's give him a chance. And within the first week, he kind of did everything he said he was going to do.
It's just always
which is the
terrifying.
Bad part. Yeah. And if you think this is ridiculous, we highly encourage you to write, call your government officials and tell them how you disagree with it. Is it going to change anything? Clearly not. Because the American people have spoken with their voice, and that voice was overruled by a paycheck. But, you know, change has to start somewhere. And we're going to change the focus of the show now. Because we went 40 minutes hard on this. That doesn't leave a lot of time for anything else.
I miss when this show was fun. Mm. And then Trump happened, and now just every day is a new nightmare that we have to talk about.
It really is. And you have to make a choice. Like, do you not talk about it because it's upsetting? Or do you just go, okay, well, this is how it is. Let's discuss it. Because there are a lot of people that don't pay attention to the news. I have had at least two people tell me, I don't even watch the news. I find out most of the stuff from listening to your show, which is both sad and kind of flattering.
Basically,
I hope you lean left.
We're banning him. If that's where they're getting their news, they most certainly do. Because there's no chance they are doing that.
Allie, I have a list of stories about you.
Mm-hmm.
Hear from your mother.
Yeah.
If you sat through the Trump discussion, Now you can just hear a couple of these stories.
Or you just fast forward 40 minutes.
So Allie turned 21 today.
Yep.
And what an awful day for you to turn 21. In one of the blackest days in American history, which is really saying something, because we've done some terrible things. Like Trump said, we're not so innocent. Here's a couple things about Alethea Catherine Hebert that you might not know that were told to me. Apparently,
I don't think I knew that her middle name was Catherine.
It is.
I already learned something.
She's the only Catherine I've ever known that I haven't wanted to spit at.
My mom's compromise with my dad for me having a normal middle name if my name was going to be Alethea Hebert, spelled like Hebert.
Hebert, which is what you are. Hebert.
What?
Hebert. You said Hebert, right?
That's what my last name looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the compromise. If your name was Catherine, it was whatever.
Okay.
Just
story
whatever.
Time.
Apparently, yay, she loved Shania Twain's Man, I Feel Like a Woman when she was 3 or 4. And you sang and danced to it often. That's not bad.
I did.
That's cute.
I mean, if my mom wrote that story about me, like, that would be more incriminating. Like, that's not too bad.
I feel like that, like, Dalton, there's a video of Dalton singing that at some point.
Probably.
By the way, I love Dalton. I just want to point that out. One of my best friends. I just want to say that. She did not like
Stop
to wear.
Stop smiling, Dalton.
She did not like to wear clothing at 2 to 3 and 4 years old and often removed everything except her underwear while at home. When prompted to put clothes on or commented that she is wearing nothing but underwear, she would loudly and proudly proclaim, I don't care. Which caused her father to write a poem.
Well, it was more of a song.
Do you know the song
it.
By heart? Can you sing it?
This is where you play dumb. Like, oh no, I don't remember.
I've got
no, because
here.
Calvin likes to sing it for everyone. Like,
wish Calvin was here to sing it right now.
Calvin loves to bring this
if
up.
If only he had a way of recording some audio to send us for the opening of the show.
Oh, geez.
Allie, do you know the song? You going to sing it?
I'm not going to sing it.
It's Allie Underwear. Wears her undies everywhere. If you ask her, she don't care. She's Allie Underwear.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The Billy Hills connection goes very deep. Oh. She don't care.
This is one of my personal favorite ones. When Allie was born, we lived in Central. And this is from her mother, by the way, in case you guys didn't. This is her mother. Legitimately came to the store, handed me an envelope that said Mr. 100 on it.
It did. Yeah. It was written on there.
When Allie was born, we lived in Central Pennsylvania, where her father was the preacher for 3 congregations, all very small. They did not have a nursery, so one of the churches provided a playpen area behind the last pew, where I sat, and she played directly behind me, typically very quietly. Good for you, Allie. Because as I heard from her earlier, Calvin is much louder playing guitars. One Sunday, myself and others in the pew stood to sing a hymn, and soon those standing next to me are looking back at Allie and giggling. When I turned, I saw Allie with all of her clothes removed, including the diaper, because she was just beginning to walk. She was 10 to 12. Months. Important to point that out.
She really grew into her own in these last 11 years.
She had placed her tights on her head, and then in parentheses, this picture long floppy rabbit ears, holding one leg of the tights in each hand, swinging her body from side to side, singing. I immediately tried to put her diaper on, and she loudly declined with no yucky. So I carried her out. She was crying as I marched across the lawn with her under one arm, naked. Allie's face is now red.
Because I've only ever heard my mom tell these stories. So having someone else say them.
There's a good story about how she got her nickname Allie. Apparently they gave her the nickname Ali at first.
A-L-I, yeah.
And then she found out you could spell it different ways, so they spelled out a bunch of different ones. She saw A-L-L-Y and said, I want that one.
Yep, it's happened. I walked up to my mom. I was like, so there's different ways to spell Allie. And my mom goes, you are correct. And I pull out a pen and paper from behind my back and go, show me.
That's what it says. That's what it says in the story.
It says right there.
I was going through it quickly. In kindergarten, Allie attended a school that did student-led parent-teacher conferences. I like this story. This was just cute. She was charged with telling us about her work and shared a writing in it, about me book, where she wrote about things she likes, including her favorite color. She read to us, my favorite color is pink. Then looked up and said, I did not know how to spell magenta, which I said Magneta earlier because I was thinking about Magneto. The teacher immediately said, I would have helped you spell that, Allie. And Allie said, pink is close enough.
I was a very independent child.
When Allie was 4 or 5 years old, she loved riding in the Mustang. One day as we were ready to leave, she used her hand to flick her long hair over one shoulder with attitude and asked, when will we be taking the pause for effect as she flicks her hair?
Which is an, great.
Yeah, like, I just want you to say it. Because you obviously know the story because you're flicking your hair. She literally flicked her hair.
I did.
When I said it.
Because,
and then she says, Mustang.
Yeah. Little, I don't remember exactly what I said.
Little diva is what you are. And then there's a good one that's far too long. I don't have enough time to read all of these. Where you ate the pies at Thanksgiving, I think it was. Yeah.
I ate an entire pumpkin pie.
You helped bake two pumpkin pies. And said you held your nose the entire time because
hated
you hated
the smell of pumpkin pie.
You have a sensitive
pie.
Nose. Yes. Mm-hmm.
But and, taste is mostly.
Well, clearly it is.
But like when, because whenever you're making it, it smells a lot worse than after it's baked.
You were holding your nose while you were making it. I was picturing you eating an entire pie. This is disgusting.
Well, hold on. Because the pie disappeared. Allie, why did the pie disappear?
Well, so my mom made me try it because she was like, no, you're going to like it. I tried it. I liked it. And my dad wanted to know where the other pie was because they finished one. And my mom asked me where it was. I did this. I put my face in my hands and my mom knew that's what I did when I did something wrong. And
right.
I knew it.
She still does it.
And she was like, where is it? And I go under my bed and I pull out the empty pie pan with a huge spoon in it. And my mom goes, your stomach is going to hurt. And I go, my tummy don't hurt. And I never know if my tummy started hurting.
Yeah, she said you never complained if it did because you were just being that sassy.
I would have. That's it. I would have not told them at all because I didn't want to hear the I told you so.
Your mom said these are some of my favorites. There will be undoubtedly. There's a couple more, but like I said, we don't have all time for everything. We'll post it on Facebook later if you guys read all of them. I'm not going to do that. These are some of my favorites. There will undoubtedly be more in the years to come. I could continue with more from the recent years involving driving and tires and a late night at McDonald's. I don't know what that's about, but I fear they are too soon, too fresh for sharing yet. Retold with love and admiration for this boldly confident young lady. What is the McDonald's story?
The one time I snuck out of my house.
Oh, this is when you stole your parents' car.
I didn't.
I borrowed it.
The car.
Did you tell them you were taking the car?
No, because it was 1 a.m.
So you stole the car. How old were you?
Did you return the car?
Yes.
Borrowed.
Thank you.
How many times has Seamus stolen Del Rio's? We have seen this happen. It was borrowed.
God bless your mom for being so kind as to say just late night at McDonald's, because I don't know any other parent that their kid would have stolen the car, which is what you did, and then taken the stolen car to McDonald's to hang out with their friends and not just been grounded for life.
Only time I ever snuck out. I was 17. Only time I ever snuck out.
Which was 4 years ago, by the way. I want to point that out. This was 4 years ago. This was 2 years before we all knew you.
Okay.
Like, it sounds like it's ancient. It's not ancient history. This is just like almost yesterday.
No.
This was 3 weeks ago.
It was the better time because Obama was still president. Someone posted a thing where he posted a picture on vacation, and it's like, that's the petty picture you post to prove to your ex that you're doing better. Like, that you're better off now. Yeah. It's just like, look how happy he is on vacation. Like,
aww. Well, thank you, Mrs. Hebert, for sharing that with us. Yeah. Thank you so much. And, we look forward to many, many more embarrassing stories. If you have an embarrassing story about Allie Hebert, email us at,
we need to get a
shameallie at podzilla1985.com. JR, I'm looking at you here.
We need to get some Calvin.
She has
stories.
Calvin stories, and she wants to tell them.
I have plenty of Calvin
stories. Well, no, that's what I mean. Like, we need to get Calvin.
Oh, Calvin's stories about
Calvin's stories about, like,
absolutely.
Stories that Calvin has about Allie.
Absolutely. Okay, we got about 15 minutes left. Let's talk about happier things. We watched the Iron Fist trailer earlier, as you well know, because we had a pause to go watch it. And I already know what's going to piss me off about the show. He's not going to get his outfit till the last episode, is he?
Oh, he may not even get it.
That's frustrating.
Because he has kind of the most outlandish.
He does the green and the yellow.
The bright green and yellow, like the white and gold is a little, like, and I know what you're thinking, like, well, you know, Daredevil's, he didn't get his like armored one until the end of season one, really.
Yeah.
And then
it
was refined in two.
Yeah, because the outfit at the end of Daredevil season one was awful.
It wasn't great.
It wasn't good. The movie Daredevil outfit was actually awesome.
Yeah,
I don't care what anyone says.
I like how they made it, like, they actually gave a reasonable, like, why it's a functioning outfit, too.
Yeah.
For season one and two.
Right. Although, I really like the... I'm sorry to talk about... Daredevil was so good.
It was.
It's still my favorite. The season one of Daredevil, even with Luke Cage...
Season one and the first half of season two were amazing.
When it was Punisher heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jessica Jones was also great. They were both, they were all great, but for different reasons.
Right.
They all kind of, I think, except for maybe Jessica Jones, because that's the one that I've actually haven't rewatched yet. But they all kind of, and season one of Daredevil, because that really was the best. But Luke Cage and season two of Daredevil all kind of had this stuttering point where it really felt like they could have wrapped up everything, but they still had like six episodes left.
Yeah.
So then they had to bring in new characters. It's just, they stumbled.
Felt rushed kind of. Yeah. Yeah, I was real disappointed with Daredevil season two. I was after too. The Punisher.
But seeing that and how it looks like Iron Fist is just going to immediately start filling in those gaps.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more okay with it.
And you're a big Iron Fist fan.
I am.
That's important to note.
I like Danny Rand a lot. He's so cool. He was Daredevil for a little bit.
Was he really?
He, a couple times to whenever Matt Murdock really needed to distance himself when everyone knew he was Daredevil.
Yeah.
Like he would show up and
so
then.
Can you explain this joke to me then? I play Marvel Heroes a lot.
Okay.
As you know, one of the outfits for Daredevil, mm-hmm. it's Matt Murdock with a shirt that says, I am not Daredevil.
Yes. He would wear that around when people like, cause for the long time, everyone knew Matt Murdock was Daredevil. It wasn't like a secret. Like no one could really prove it, but everyone knew it.
Right.
So he would wear that shirt. Just as a screw you. Like, I am not Daredevil. Yeah.
Allie, you have not watched any of the Marvel.
Have you really not?
No. Tell them what you watch when you have free time.
I watch things that I've already seen.
Like what?
Like Drake and Josh.
Drake and Josh.
I mean, I do that too, but like my stuff is just better than Drake and Josh.
Hey. I grew up with Drake and Josh.
Futurama, It's Always Sunny, American Dad.
Simpsons.
I watch those things
King of the
too.
Hill.
I've been watching a lot of The Simpsons too.
But I hardly ever like sit down and fully pay attention to a show anymore.
Daredevil will be way easy to do that because it grabs you immediately.
It really does. Well, no, because I know, I showed them episode one and I showed it here at the store. That was probably my mistake.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
you need to, like, when you're home and like, all right, we got popcorn or snacks or whatever and we're here to watch something,
you will want to watch it episode after episode.
You will.
You don't want to stop.
It's very true. Like I have had a really hard time doing Voltron. I've heard nothing but great things about the new Voltron.
Lindsay is in love with it,
but
so is
Jesse.
But
every time that I start and the Steven. First episode of season one, that's an hour and a half. It's a movie, basically. And I forget every single time. And then I start to mess on my phone. I get on Reddit and I, you know, Twitter, like, and I just get distracted and I look up and it's been like 15 minutes and I don't know what's going on. So I'm like, well, I'm just
going to try again later.
I'm going to turn on something I've already seen before. But no, like all of these Marvel shows, like if you were, once you like start them, they hold your attention really well.
And I can also be blamed because I have not watched Jessica Jones. I have not watched Luke Cage yet. And I think part of that was because I didn't want them to be better than Daredevil.
Jessica Jones is a rough watch.
I've heard that.
I will say that. And not because it's bad, just the content matter.
Very adult. Very adult.
Very adult.
Yeah.
Luke Cage is just great.
See, Daredevil was a good... See, to me, Daredevil is probably the most fantastical of them because it's blind lawyer beating up criminals in the city, magic ninjas, all that stuff. And I get the purple man in Jessica Jones.
I was going to say, but then you have someone who can do mind control and two superhuman, like just super powered, like super strong.
But the Luke Cage, at least to me, it seems very urban. Like it's very grounded in.
I mean, it takes place in Harlem. It's a
Here are these, like this very colorful neighborhood. And I don't mean that as a bad joke. Like it's, it's just the whole area, you know, whereas in Daredevil, it's very much good guy versus ninjas and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But Luke Cage and Jessica Jones are both more realistic. Like they're more real.
They're a little bit more grounded.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more grounded. And I will say that's one of the things I'm really looking forward to in Iron Fist is the soundtrack because it's like a 90s hip hop. Based soundtrack, like even I don't know if like the song they used in the trailer wasn't necessarily like it had a little bit of a, you know, dubstep ish feel to it. But I love that soundtrack too, like just that the music in the background as it was going.
Right,
like I'm so stoked for the show. That scene where they're in the hallway, he's got the two axes. The better version of Elektra. I don't know who she is, but I'm interested.
Although they're going to have a hard time beating that hallway scene from Daredevil season one.
They are.
That set the standard. But the thing about setting the standard is now everyone's shooting for that.
But it's also worth mentioning too, Daredevil's combat and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage were both wildly different because Daredevil was very much boxing, martial arts related. Iron Fist is also going to be very much martial arts related. Jessica Jones and Luke Cage were just strong.
But to be
they
fair.
They knew how to fight, and like Luke Cage, they kind of do a thing where it shows how he learns to fight. But a lot of them was just throwing and pushing people because they know, I can't just haul off and punch this dude because he will explode into a fine mist.
Yes, very gooey.
While they may not have necessarily an aversion to killing people like a lot of other heroes might, they still don't act. It's not their active goal when dealing with like these henchmen.
Whereas Daredevil is very much like Batman. He doesn't like to kill people.
That's one of my favorite jokes too, is why isn't Daredevil the guy who uses sonar to fight and navigate not called Batman, and Batman not called Daredevil, who just wears a cape
is
and
an acrobat.
Jumps around in acrobatic stuff.
Yeah, I saw a Dorkly about that. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense.
It makes me chuckle a little bit.
I can't wait for the Punisher show. Because here you'll have a guy who doesn't fight, really. Mm-hmm. He just shoots people. We've said before, like, I'm a big Punisher fan. I always have been. But it's so hard to write him as a character.
Because you can't give him an enemy.
He has no empathy. He has no mercy. He just kills. But that is one of my favorite parts from Daredevil season 2, is when he's on the roof with Daredevil and he puts the gun in his hand.
And then Daredevil's just like all of a sudden okay with it.
Well, no, where he puts the gun
in
his hand.
Oh, earlier in the season.
Yeah, gotcha. And he tapes him and he's like, I'm going to kill this guy unless you kill me.
Yeah.
Which is... I mean, you've seen that a million times before. I'm pretty sure Joker's done that to Batman.
They've done
it. Legato did it to Vash the Stampede and Trigun. Mm. Boom, internet. There's your Trigun reference. Allie's depressed. She doesn't know what Trigun is.
Which, speaking awesome. Of just people who just shoot people, John Wick.
We're going to watch John Wick after the show. You still want to watch John Wick after the show?
Yeah.
We'll go back to my place and watch it, making a movie night. We're going to watch John Wick because we went to go see it. Just randomly, because we heard it was good, and it was amazing. It's one of my favorite action movies of all time.
I didn't see it until I rented it. Like, I rented it because I had enough people just be like, no, you really need to watch it. It's such a great movie. Chapter 2 comes out Friday.
Yes.
I am so stoked for this movie.
Me too. This will be the first sequel that Keanu Reeves has ever made that may be good.
Headshot City. it's the headshot party. It's not a super kick party.
It's not a happy movie. Really not.
The first 20 minutes
heart-wrenching
are incredibly upsetting.
Yeah.
But it just makes the last hour
so
much more satisfying.
It is, because this is one of the only times, like, I don't usually get behind people in these revenge movies because it's usually whatever. But for some reason, I really bought John Wick and I really wanted him to kill everybody.
Yeah.
No mercy.
And the end of the movie, like, it's not really a spoiler. It's just, when I saw it, I was like, oh, well, that was a great single movie. How are they going to make a sequel? Because just, there's not a whole lot left over.
He killed all of the mobsters.
Pretty much. Except then, then the trailer for season 2, and we get a taste of what the story is. Someone wants to hire him again. He says no. Okay, well, I'm going to kill you now. That scene where they're in the plaza, and just, he's like, we're everywhere. And everyone stops walking. Huh. I need to see this movie.
The plot for John Wick is so basic. Mm-hmm. That it's not a genius movie. Like, it's not, it is clever in its
simplicity,
basicness. Yeah. And I cannot wait for part 2. I hope you watch it with me tonight so we can go watch part 2 this weekend, maybe. Mm-hmm. Because it is a fantastic movie. Hopefully. I haven't read the reviews yet. We may be wrong.
I don't even care.
This may be terrible.
This is a thing where, like, this is one where I will have no problem disagreeing with the reviews. Like, oh, it's just an action heavy, whatever, like nothing movie. I don't think it will be that, but I'm super stoked for it.
Last thing before we go. Lego Batman. I said we were going to talk about this.
Opens Friday. Super excited about it.
There was a post that Chris Edelman, who used to work here for Podzilla 1985, who did the Marvelous Jesse and Chris show with Jesse Kimball, of course. He posted, if you don't like Lego Batman, there are other Batman out for you. Because I guess there are some people complaining that this looks stupid. Mm-hmm. And it does look stupid. But it looks stupid if you're only devoted to the Dark Knight, the grim, depressing,
right,
super adult version of Batman, you will be disappointed by a movie called Lego Batman where Batman is running around in a bathrobe with his camp. What I don't understand is the people that are defending Lego, and I kind of get it already the more I thought about it. The people that are defending Lego Batman is Batman by saying, hey, if you don't like this Batman, that's fine. There are other Batman out there. A lot of these people are the same guys that were absolutely hammering Batman v Superman for their portrayal of Batman.
AKA me.
You, exactly, and that's why I want to talk to you about it. Like, why is this different? Why is it that the Batman from Batman v Superman is bad?
Because
Batman is okay.
And to me, the answer is there is more of a recent precedent of Batman still being a kid-friendly, fun hero and story device than there is to, I'm just going to murder everybody. Because there are kids shows. There's that Play School. The little figures you can
Playmobil.
Yeah. There's like the Playmobil cartoon. There is what was the one where it was basically Batman and Friends?
The Batman?
No, not the Batman. The one where it was Diedrich Bader.
Yeah,
did the voice.
Oh God. I know exactly. Yeah, because Diedrich Bader did the
voice like
for
Plastic
Batman.
Man, and like I remember
it was just the corniest thing.
Yeah, it was super cheesy. You have Batman 66, which is the comic from the 60s era.
Right.
Excuse me, Adam West Batman. Like, personally, I like the darker, more adult, the Scott Snyder New 52 run. This current Tom King run is amazing. Animated series walked that line very well of being like kind of dark and over the top, but also still very kid friendly and fun. So to me, that's why. Like, I know, and it's not trying to be something else. It is not trying to be like, okay, we're going to match up with The Dark Knight and Batman Begins.
So can I take a stab at it before, and then Ali, I'll get to your point.
Well, and then to finish that up. So opposed to Batman v Superman, where it very much also tried to be like just gritty, regular Batman that we know. And then just this terrible character breaking hook.
Okay, that's what I was going
to
say.
At the end to it. Like,
so you're saying that because Lego Batman is so outlandish that it kind of gets a pass versus a movie that basically says, no, this is Batman, but takes him too far.
Right. Because I don't think anyone is going into this movie knowing that this is the only Batman you're going to get.
Right.
As opposed to Batman v Superman Batman. Like, okay, that Batman is what we saw in Suicide Squad. It's what we're going to see in the Ben Affleck.
This is
one.
The new Batman.
Yeah.
Allie, go ahead.
My point's similar. The reason why I can separate the two has to do with Lego. It's Lego Batman. So they are taking some creative royalties here and being able to change the character in a way. It's not Batman, it's Lego Batman.
Especially since this is the same Lego Batman from the Lego movie, which I loved. I wasn't a huge...
Will Arnett is just great.
Is great. Batman. And like, and I'll be honest, like, I wasn't... The first time that I saw the Lego movie, I was kind of bummed that they made Batman just kind of a tool.
Yeah, he's
kind of
douchey.
He really is. And I was bummed about that, but then, like, my multiple rewatchings of the Lego movie, because that is legitimately one of my favorite movies of all time. I just, the more I watched it, the more I kind of got it. And now seeing that he's getting his own movie where he'll be a full-on, like, he'll be the main character as opposed to, like, just
and
the
still,
side character
and,
joke.
And this is still connected to Lego movie because he's a master builder.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. I didn't know that. I thought they were just taking it just like, okay, that didn't happen. Here's Batman.
Yeah. No, no. It's like it's almost like a, not a sequel, but a offshoot.
Yeah.
Spinoff.
Yeah. So can I ask you a question? Which I'm going to.
I said no.
I know, but I'm asking anyway. I'm the host.
Sir.
is there not enough room for the Batman that you know and love, the outlandish Lego Batman, and the Batman from Batman v Superman, assuming, because this is my bigger question, is if the movie was better. If Batman v Superman was a good movie where Batman killed, would that be better than what we have? Would you be okay with
personally,
it?
Personally, no, because Batman not killing is such a fundamental part of his character that even if the movie was better, I would still, like, that would still be a down point for me.
On the offside, what if, and I know this
but, like,
is cartoonish.
But I do absolutely think that, yes, I can read my Batman Rebirth book by Tom King. I can watch the Batman movie that Ben Affleck does and also enjoy Lego Batman because they are
separate entities.
Yeah, they're separate entities of the same character.
What if Batman and Lego Batman kills other Legos? And I'm being dead serious. What if there's a part where he destroys Lego, like
if
they fall apart,
like,
and they die?
I don't think they can do... Well, I mean, they froze the parents in crazy glue in the Lego movie.
But because it's outlandish, would it be okay?
Like, but I don't think they even really... Like, if they have death in that, I mean, I still wouldn't like it. Like,
you would give it the same criticism you gave Batman v Superman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, that's all I want to know.
It's not just because I thought it was Batman v Superman was a terrible movie and I was looking at any, for any aspect to poke at.
Right.
That was just one that I hated. If it happened in a better movie, like, it's my criticism of Batman Begins. I love Batman Begins, but I hate the, well, I don't have to save you line. Or the whole, I'm not going to kill this prisoner, but I am going to blow up your whole castle. Including the prisoner.
And lots of other people.
Yeah. Like, I disagree with that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
But the movie itself is better, so...
Oh, it's far better.
It's easier for me. Yeah. It's easier for me to digest that.
Right.
Especially because it was a little more implied death than just...
Showing him kill people.
Just straight up blowing someone up with a grenade launcher.
Right. Allie, are you going to see Lego movie? Lego Batman?
I want to, yes.
If you had to pick between Lego Batman and John Wick 2, what would you pick?
Well, the thing is, I haven't seen the first John Wick
say,
yet.
Right,
I was hoping you would say that. Like, we're about to go do that. That's a good explanation, Asa. They should hire you. You should be the new Sean Spicer.
No. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd get fired immediately.
Because you tell the truth?
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Happy birthday, Allie, once again.
Happy birthday.
And Billy. Oh, damn it. Yeah. I was just about to get to that. Also, happy birthday to Billy, the king of the peanuts, mm-hmm. who couldn't be here today because he's out celebrating his birth, no doubt. Allie was stupid enough to come in here and record. Don't know why.
I tried to give you guys an out.
No. Shan Young does not take outs. He does not do that. Lindsay's birthday is tomorrow, who's mm-hmm. on the Thursday show. Unfortunately, she's not on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, but I will do it on Thursday. I'll have embarrassing stories about her as well, because mm-hmm. those are real fun, because I know a lot of those.
So I read through the ones that you didn't tell. My mom got one wrong.
She did?
Yep. Oh.
What was it?
Controversy.
About my driver's test, she said that I passed it in the Mustang. I did not. That was Calvin.
Oh. Were any of these stories about you, or are these all Calvin? Did Calvin like to get naked?
Did Calvin put his leggings on his head and like her floppy bunny ears? And
did Calvin like pie? All right. We'll be back tomorrow with Pro Wrestling and Script. We've got a lot to talk about. Elimination
Big
Chamber
show.
Is Sunday.
Big show.
Stride is Saturday.
Yep.
And some shaking ups in CCW. We're going to talk about all that tomorrow. It's some big news tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening so much. We will see you then. Have a great night.